Hello, and welcome to episode 84 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm your host, Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars and Stalkerville, and joining me to talk the world of sequential funny books this week are writer, artist, and creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And Down the Tubes contributor, comic writer, and one-man cheese board, Tony Esmond.
Hello.
You didn't say anything this week, and you knew it was going to put me off, didn't you?
He's got it down to an art form.
He does
getting you off balance.
He does. He does. Yeah. I think I've got him every week. He does something else. Yes, it's just
you enjoyed sitting next to me yesterday. You liked it.
I did indeed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it every day. But, you know, it was fun while it lasted. Yes,
it was
a convention weekend that has just passed us. So this week, it's just the three of us, the originals, shooting the breeze and talking comics and nonsense, etc. How are we, gents? Are we feeling well?
Yeah, pretty good actually. I'm still a tiny bit jet-lagged, but yeah, pretty good. Yeah,
yes,
I think I'm over it now.
Yeah, Tony Esmond, like, went to True Believers Comic Festival straight from New York. That's how gangster you are.
That's how cool
it?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had food poisoning on a plane for fucking 8 hours, got off it, and then went to a little chef, which you think is hilarious.
Well, it is.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. And then went to True Believers, and I was a little bit mental throughout the day. Well, I did use the phrase whacking it a lot, which I was quite pleased of.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, well, it was noticed. Yeah. So, yes, True Believers was this very weekend. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to Stuart Mulray about it. And first off, got to say a big props to Stu and his gang for putting on and running a very tight convention, I must say that. From the layout to the way... I mean, certainly from people behind the table, I didn't notice any problems. Did you, Tony?
Oh, I don't think you could have run a smoother one. It was absolutely really well done, wasn't it? It was so good. Yeah.
And that's quite a big shop floor as well.
It's a big area.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely venue. Loads of space and you know, the two layers looking down, you know, you got the upper level looking down on the shop floor, but you had stalls up there as well, and then the cosplay talks area at the back. Yeah, I think it's really
good. What was the old footfall like? Busy?
I don't know actually. Seemed busy to start with, I think.
Yeah.
Tailed off a bit, because our talk wasn't till 4, was it? And I think that by the time we went up to the talk, I don't think you were too irked about being away from the table and missing sales at that point, were you?
No.
I think it sort of slowed down a bit in the afternoon. Yeah. I think that's kind of de rigueur for comic conventions now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It's almost like four is almost the cut-off point, isn't it, in some ways?
Mm.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Most of them I've been to at 4 p.m. it kind of like it's really petering out.
Yeah.
But I kind of, when you mentioned about having like the Comic Con on one day as opposed to two or three, that makes so much more sense to me.
Yeah.
As opposed to kind of spreading the thing like London Sib Comic Con is going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, there'd be no point in having, I don't know why Melksham does two, I've got to be honest with you. I think that'd be better just as one.
Just one.
You know? Yeah.
All killer, no filler.
It may be when it comes back next year.
Yeah, it might be, mightn't it? Yeah. Yeah,
it'd be interesting. Yeah, but True Believers, the only thing missing from it was Dan Butcher.
It was. A lot of people asked where you were.
Yeah.
I really wish you'd been there.
I made up sort of random rumours about stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was different every time, wasn't it?
Yeah, police raids. Bollock operations. Usual sort of thing.
The Johnny full of cocaine exploded up your bum.
I did say that at one point. Yeah, no, in your stomach, I said, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
The geezer wearing it was well put out.
You were pleased once.
Yeah, so, that was the only thing that was missing. There was lots of great people there. Should we give a few shout-outs?
Yeah. Okay. Shall I go through my list?
Yeah, and I'll see if I've got anyone that... You're always good with your notes, Tony. So
it's very kind of you. Okay, Stuart Mulrain and the staff, like you've just said, really good. Martin Simmons, who we had a good chat with, didn't we?
Yeah.
I like Martin. He's a good guy.
You may be hearing more from him fairly soon.
Yeah, we're hoping to get him on, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're seeing him next week at 2000 AD, aren't we?
We are indeed. along with Mike Darley.
Yeah, Mike's going to be there as well. Tom Curry, who won our amazing pork pie competition.
Nice.
Yeah, Tom, who is famous for asking Dear Tony questions, Uncle Tony questions. Is it Auntie Tony or Uncle Tony?
I think it's Auntie Tony. I call it Auntie Tony.
Tom, we told everyone to come to the table. If you come to the panel, you have to ask, you know, use the word pork pie in a competition. And very kindly, Chris Baker and his pal, who's, I'm really embarrassed because I can't remember his name, and I asked Chris earlier and he didn't tell me, from Dead Canary, donated a print, a Last Driver signed print, which is lovely stuff by Shaky Kane.
Nice.
And he asked a question, and actually asked a half sensible question using the word pork pie in it. It actually had meaning rather than just going, do you like pork pies? He actually sort of thought it out, didn't he?
Yeah.
I was very impressed with, yeah.
But wasn't it, when it comes to character design, say you're going to create a character like Pork Pie Man, much like Banana Man, how would you go about it?
And he did it proper straight-faced, and then there's a little cheer went up, and he won our prize. Yeah. Bradwin.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
We did a proper shaking hands and handing over the prize moment, which I got a bit emotional. I don't know how you felt, but you know. Kevin Kelbrett was there from Nottingham, and we had throughout the day all came over and had a chat and took the piss out of me, which is always good. Nick Prolix.
He'll get a laugh out of that, I'm sure.
Oh fuck, he's gonna kill me, isn't he? He looks like he's got a punch on him. Nick Prolix, sorry, that was a complete accident, not on purpose. Slang Pictorial, which I should be talking about at the end of the show, was there, and he's always good entertainment, isn't he? And well, I think we're going to get him on as well, aren't we? It's a plan.
Yeah.
Because we like Nick, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to get him on.
Yeah. Rachel Smith, who was sat next door to us. Sorry, Rachel, firstly. But she seemed to be having a good day. I think she's very popular, isn't she?
Yeah. She must have been aware of everything we were saying, which is quite terrifying.
Yeah, I caught her giggling a couple of times, so I think she probably was, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and looking a little bit disgusted.
Completely understandable.
Yeah.
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 Dobes, good old Dobes, he was there.
Yeah.
Had a good chat with him. Dan from Spartan Comics came over, and also the Leamington Spa Comic Con. Nice. And I think they're about to announce the winner of their competition, so that should be interesting, because the winner of that comes on the show. Kev Cooling, who is a top bloke and has messaged me today, and he did a sketch. I sent him a script I'm preparing, because he asked to read a script sort of thing, and I sent him a script over, which I'm sort of preparing at the moment. He did some fan art from it, which is the first bit of art from that script, which is really cool of him. Yeah. He did some art for you as well, didn't he, Vince?
He did a Red Mask original, which is amazing.
Oh, nice.
And he said if you were there, Dan, you would have got a Vanguard as well.
Yeah.
That's what you need to
do. I missed out. Yeah.
No, Kev's a top bloke. So I'm not just saying that because he's one of our five listeners.
And he did sit right. I have to say, of our panel, everyone sort of joined in just taking the piss quite a lot out of us, which I thought was good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We had a great panel, didn't we? Me, you, Rachel, and Mr. Imber. And everyone was on form, and it was good laugh.
Yeah.
There was actually a few people in the audience we'd never met before, which I was quite surprised about. Mostly just friends who came along.
And I will say that our panel, which was Making Awesome Comics, which was with Chris Imber and Rachel Smith, it was, even though I was thinking, am I going to run out of questions? Oh God, how bad is this going to go? Considering our first panel, people seemed to enjoy it, but for you and I, it was like being in a car that's on fire. but whereas this one went quite well, and I thought I learnt a bit more about Chris Imber and Rachel Smith. They got quite deep on their answers.
They were good answers as well, weren't they? They were good.
So
that went well. Sarah Harris, who's always a friend of ours, she was there, and she came to the panel, everything, popped by the table a few times.
Always a pleasure.
I have to apologise to Chris Sides and Chris Travell, because they gave me a lift home, and I spent the whole journey snoring in the back of the car. All sorts.
I can just picture it. And I can picture their faces. And it's just... It will never not make me smile.
Apparently, according to them, they went, what was that noise? And then Chris has gone, oh, is he snoring? And then I kept sort of hysterically waking
up. The clutch.
Being chased by a bear. So that was good. They're good eggs as well, and great company. Emily Owen, she was in with her fiance Gav Mitchell.
Yeah.
Great talents. John Late, he was a good laugh, wasn't he? And he, at one point, he did manage to keep a straight face while we were you were doing something that was particularly funny at him behind and the person's back he was talking to, which made me laugh no end.
Yes.
You remember that, don't you, Vince?
Yeah, I do. It was a proud moment. It was one of my proudest moments of the day.
Who thought you could do that with one of your, you know, signs?
Yeah, a convention banner can be used for many things. and one of them is lewd gestures to make someone laugh.
Jay Martin was there. He was. Yeah, I like Jay. He's funny and he makes me laugh. The mighty one, Dave Broughton, it was great company. I had quite a few chats with him. The Attic Studio guys, they were there.
Yeah.
Always good. They were right next to us, weren't they? No, they were between. Who did we have between us? Oh, yeah, it was Paul Grist, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Grist, the man I said to, my opening gambit as he arrived was, "Have you ever seen Murder, She Wrote, Paul?" And he went, "No," and sat down.
Yeah, I didn't speak to him.
I didn't think there was anyone who hasn't seen that show.
What's wrong with people? Yeah, he wasn't a big conversationalist. I'm sure he's a very talented artist, but he's not very chatty, put it that way. Yeah. Yeah, I warmed him up a little bit as the day went on.
Really?
Oh. The Mighty Blaw was there, had a chat with him. He just came over and sort of took the piss out of us and giggled. Daryl Thorpe as well. I love Daryl's art. Really good stuff. He does some great pin-ups. And he did break the news that his whole office heard us talk about Alabama Hot Pockets.
Christ.
Yeah.
They actually all listen to the show on a weekly basis. So, hello, guys. Thank you.
We apologise.
Apologise for nothing, Tony. Remember, it's all Dan's fault.
I didn't bring it up.
Oh.
But yeah, in future, I will continue to read up stuff like that if Tony suggests it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I'm just googling something.
Dan's dictionary corner.
Yeah. What we're going to ask him this week, Tony?
Well, give me 2 seconds. I'll think of something.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple that I won't mention. Nanny Bim, or Louise Ho, as I know her, one of my earliest comic buddies, she popped over briefly to say hello. PJ Montgomery, the writer behind the Troll Tooth Wars.
He's
always a good laugh, and he picked up the latest issue of the Red Mass, which is quite cool. He actually got it while I was away from the table. He picked up a copy and then ran over to me to give me the money, which I thought was extremely honest of him.
Very honest of him.
I think you mentioned most of them, to be honest, Danny. Alex from Pipe Dream Comics, he was there. The pull list, I think it's the first time in print, actually. So hopefully that did well. Mark and Matt from Hellbound Media, always good. Always good catching up with them. I picked up their latest Mandy the Monster Hunter book, so and I got some stuff in the pipeline from them as well. So,
oh, you haven't you?
Yeah. I'll talk more about that when it's.
Yeah, which is good because he just enjoys winding you up, which always makes me laugh.
Yeah. You love it when anyone picks on me, don't you? Really?
I'll defend you.
Yeah, it's very true. Now there was a lovely couple that came along. To the table, listeners to the show. Now, me and Tony have neglected to write down your names, but we're going to see you at the 2000 AD event, and we know this, so we're going to give you a proper big shout out on that show.
And I've got a feeling the lady was called Kirsty, but I can't be 100%.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I apologise.
We had a fantastic chat. Big 2000 AD fans. He had already bought issue 1 of the Red Mask and Comixology, and he came along and bought all 3 issues, which was fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah. And then his book, didn't you?
And then he sent me a challenge.
You're nervous. You were sweating because of this.
Yes. He had like a little sort of A5 sort of 2000 AD style sketchbook, wasn't it, really? And what artist did he get to sketch? He's been asking artists to sketch.
Barn was in it. Who else was in it? Oh, Henry Flint.
Squarer was in it.
Squarer, yeah. Loads of great 2000 AD
Henry Flint.
He asked you to go in there.
They had all done Judge Dredd, and then he asked me to be the first sort of like small press, because he's got into small press and he loves it, which is awesome. He picked up pretty much everything from Dave Broughton just before he spoke to us.
Ah, brilliant.
Yeah. So he asked me to draw Judge Dredd, and I almost had a panic attack. I made the foolish error of like looking through the artwork first. You know what I mean? You look through it and think, yeah. Oh my god. I think I did okay. I didn't mess it up too much.
You did, mate. Yeah, it's fine. What are you talking about? You showed it to a couple of people and they all said it was fine.
Oh, good. Good.
I didn't write it out to the... good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you did it to the standard of your usual stuff for your sketch cards, it would have been great. So,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
I can understand being worried, though.
Yeah. It is that. Because
I'll tell you what we didn't get to see. We didn't get to see that jam piece finished, did we?
Oh, yes. There was an A3 sheet, wasn't there, that a lot of the sort of guests and stuff had sketched a different character on it.
Yeah, that was good.
Another one that I came along and I just felt like an imposter. Doodling on it when all, there's all this great artwork on it before I touched it. Yes, so in total, it was just a day full of meeting lovely people. I'm sure me and Tony have missed off one or two.
Yeah,
here and there. We always do. Convention days, they're always hard work, and Tony was losing his marbles as the day went on.
More so. Yeah.
Comment Sarah made was excellent. How to keep Tony under control on a panel. Just like massive jet lag.
Yeah.
Tony, I asked a few questions, but Vince did most of it. I just sort of sat there. Yeah, it was all right.
Yes. Thankfully, we had guests who were more than up to the challenge of talking about comic books and why they loved them.
Yeah.
So. The panel went well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think so.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah.
So you think they'll be releasing the audio for that at some point?
I hope so.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
You know, and then we'll listen back and just think, "Oh my god!"
I think we're doing one at Leamington now as well, aren't we?
Yes, we will be our next.
Yeah.
Our next full convention sort of appearance, shall we say, with a table and basically just looking creepy is Leamington Comic Con, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you'll be hearing more about that one fairly shortly in a few weeks. So
yeah,
that's gonna be a good one. And next week, of course, is going to be the 2000 AD show, shall we say. Yep. Is that the best way to call it?
I think so.
Yeah. So anyone going to the 2000 AD, what's it called? Is it the Thrill Festival?
Anniversary, isn't it? I think it might be.
Yeah, 40-year something.
Yeah. We're going to be there. I know there's an awful lot of creators and fans and people out there that are heading up to see. The lineup is insane.
I know.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So, and we'll be there. So you can just avoid us for the rest of the day. Should we get matching outfits?
Like bowling shirts or something.
Yeah.
Cool.
If we had Awesome Pod bowling shirts, that would be the best.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
That would ace.
Yeah.
It's called the 2080 40 Years of Thrill Power Festival.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Tony is like the Dude Lebowski. I'm essentially John Goodman, so that means you're Steve Buscemi, Dan.
Yeah, Donnie.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Although at the convention yesterday, a lot of people did ask if you were my dad, because we look very similar at the moment.
Shut up, Tony. Tony Esmond has a haircut, and I just think he's just moving a step further to perfect his cosplay of me. That's all that's happening. Yeah.
If you turn up to the convention wearing matching t-shirts again.
Oh no.
We almost did yesterday. Almost the same shirt was worn again. Yeah. I swear on my life. I'm going to take a picture of the one I almost wore. Send it to you.
I think we've only got about three shirts between us, haven't we, Tony?
Yeah, I think so. Who needs more when you're this fashionable, though? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know. Like, you know. Yeah. Sexy never goes out of style, does it?
Yeah. I go to the shop in my pyjamas.
Really? From the sounds of it, you get a toilet in your trousers.
Just a little bit came out.
Anyway, comics. As it's convention week, we just thought we'd just talk about some great comics we've read or looked at or just want to speak about this week. So who wants to go first?
Shall I go first?
Go for it.
You complained last week that you always go first and you don't like it, Tony. Now look at you.
I didn't want to keep going first because everyone, you know, steals my thunder.
Do Vince next and then I'll go.
All right. Next. Yeah, all right.
I'll tell you what, Vince, you go first. There you go. Let's do
that's
that.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And I I like hearing your voice. I find it comforting.
With the reverse order.
Oh, yes.
I'm always sandwiched in the middle, which is fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Just take that little bit of audio out, and then I can have it as my phone when I get a text. You know. Yeah.
Did he use that aborted picture of me for the?
Yes, meet dude. That's what comes up when you ring me now. That picture of you looking a bit sad and confused. And gorgeous.
Oh,
that
dear.
Was two on the nose. That pick couldn't run with it.
Oh dear. Anyway, I think the first book that I'll start with this week was one of my few purchases. I was talked so much and was wandering around talking to everyone. I didn't do as much shopping as I thought I was going to yesterday, but I managed to pick up Wired Up Wrong from Rachel Smith.
She
was sat next to me. I thought, right,
it's
a perfect chance to get hold of this. Yes, it's autobiocomics by her, really, and it's a smaller book. I don't know why. I thought it was going to be a bigger book, not thick wise, but it's a nice sort of like 10x10 sort of square comic, isn't it, Tony? Because you picked up a comic.
Yeah, it is.
Well.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's basically on the back. It says Rachel is confused about the way her brain works. In an effort to understand it, she invents a cartoon dog who follows her around, and two tiny game show hosts who live inside her head. Luckily, Rachel also has her real-life boyfriend and real-life cat to help her navigate her confused way through life. And it's essentially like page sort of snapshot sort of bio comics. Some poignant, some funny. Some of the double page sort of, they stretch over a couple of pages. And it's just brilliant, you know. It's about, I think it's about 40 pages. But it is also quite sort of poignant, because like the big black dog that is almost the anxiety.
Yeah.
There's one, for instance, there's just one panel, which is her, and she's ready to go out, but there's this huge black dog in front of the door just saying, don't go out.
Yeah.
Which visually says you don't need to say any more than that, I think, you know, with the setup that she's got. And
yeah,
there are, she does sort of,
and that's a visual cue from the rabbit, isn't it? That's
yeah
where that comes from, I think. Yeah,
yeah. And there's lots of things like the voice in her head, and but she plays, there's an honesty and a real humor going through it, and I think for a lot of books that are quite personal, for me personally, you know, when it's slightly more humorous, I get it more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, certainly with sort of self-deprecating humour, yeah. I think it communicates things in a certain way, doesn't it? And I think that's what this does.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know? And you really, and there's more of an understanding. You know, I can understand, you know, some of the issues that she talks about. I'm like, oh yeah, I totally get where you're coming from there. You know, I feel about that. But she has these little notes underneath the certain pages as well. For instance, what one time she's talking about her boyfriend Adam Cadwell of Blood Blokes. I need to get the last issue of that. I love that series.
Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah, yeah. I do need to get that. Yeah.
And she's just it's just a really nice page about him, and he's just eating Pringles, and then he's totally unaware of what she's thinking in her head. And the note at the bottom says, "Fun fact: Adam is eating a Pringle here, not a coaster, as my mum thought."
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it? She was telling us about that one as well, wasn't
she?
Yeah,
that she gave it to her mum to proofread, and that was the thing. That was one of the first things her mum said.
Eating a coaster.
Yeah, that's such a sort of parent thing to do, isn't it? Rather than like look at it and talk about, oh, you were feeling like this. It was like, is he eating a coaster? Yeah. It's a great little book. I highly, if you see Rachel at a show. Definitely pick it up, and it's less a narrative, but it does have a real flow to it. You know, there are some sort of there's a one page sort of Pokemon page which I thought was really sort of poetic and nice, actually, and it just said, "There's always going to be someone out there who's better than you, and that's okay." And then you've got like a fire Pokemon, and it's pointing towards like a water Pokemon, and then like an earthy sort of Pokemon, you know, that sort of thing. So it's firewood, water sort of thing. And I thought that was a really nice way of putting across that sort of sentiment. I highly, and it was only £4.
Yeah,
you can get it from her website as well. And if you follow Rachel at Rachel_, I believe, on Twitter, we'll put the link in the show notes. This is one of the books that I was on my sort of wish list when I went there, because I've been meaning to get it for a while. And I thought, rather than get it from the website, I'll just pick it up straight from her. So it was great. And she doodled a funny little cartoon on the inside, which was awesome.
Yeah,
so,
she did one for me as well. She does do that in a lot of her books, and it's a real nice touch. It's not like a quick thing. It said, to Tony, you're awesome, which I thought was funny. And if you go to our website, which is www.rachel, which is RACHAEL, rachelsmith.org, you can get a copy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. A thoroughly lovely and poignant book, Why That Wrong Is.
Yes.
I would love to see more of this book. I don't want creators to have issues just so they can make more books. But, if this was like 3 times the size, I'd still just absolutely devour it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, great stuff. So that's my one.
I always wonder whether it's kind of like those kind of comics, like the same thing with comedians. You have to put yourself in situations to have material. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you've got to go out and have experiences. Otherwise, you're kind of... I know you have experiences every day, but something kind of a bit different.
There is a skill in turning an everyday, you know, something that could seem so, you know, just dropping a pen and how you feel about
it
into an actual strip that will make people laugh. For instance, Rachel did that 24-hour comic that I know a lot of people did recently. You know, that they're doing. And one of them made me laugh out loud. It was just a page of her and Adam just walking into an Asda, and they were amazed because they walked into a giant Asda, and I thought that was hilarious. But, you know, when you walk into a supermarket that's so big, you're like, my God, this is amazing. Yeah, it was just that sort of joke. And she said to me, she said, she focused on them because she. She didn't have time to draw an entire Asda, and she wasn't going to be bothered. But yeah, I love that, those sort of real human moments that you can really sort of relate to. I really admire it. It's something that, since discovering more and more sort of biographical comics since we started this show, and certainly stepping into that sort of world and reading that material, I have a real respect for people that do that. And some people do it beautifully, I think, really well. So, that's all I had to say about that. That was nice, though, wasn't it? Wasn't that nice?
Yeah.
I think that was nice.
That was very nice.
Nice way to start it off. So who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Here we go.
That's good. This is a book I got through during the week, actually, from... it's called Surface Tension by Jay Gunn.
Oh, this is
from
great.
Titan Comics. It's really great.
It's incredible art, isn't it?
I managed to get it straight off Jay himself, and he's put in 3 art cards, which are absolutely fantastic. And he's also signed the book, which is even better.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just got in contact with Jay on Twitter, and we've just kind of been chatting away about the art process, comics, etc. I'll give you the synopsis for the comic. It's I didn't write this. This is kind of off the blurb. Months after a mysterious coral drew 99% of humanity into the sea, a band of survivors ekes out a hollow existence on a remote British island. When two people are cast up on the beach, completely blue, but very much alive, the island is thrown into turmoil. What caused the mass extinction? How did these two return from the deeps when billions died? Most importantly, what is the coral, and what does it want with the Earth? So I bought this. I had no idea. I didn't do any research about it whatsoever. I just took the plunge and went for it. It's really good title, the Surface Tension. It's kind of plays on 2 things. Firstly, it kind of alludes to the tension between the survivors left on this little British Channel island, which is called Breathe. And that's essentially where the story focuses on. And life on the island's become a real struggle because essentially they have to farm and grow everything for themselves. They can't go into the sea, which I'll go into in a second.
Right.
They have to kind of rebuild their society from scratch, as people have been stranded on the island, got no family there, and they have to kind of set up life from there, from then on. And the whole world's gone through this kind of strange seasickness where, like I said, majority of them, one day they started kind of getting disfigured, and they all kind of zombie-like just march into the sea and dissolve. And the reason they kind of have to grow everything on the island is that around the coast, kind of sea life has evolved and become a lot more kind of fierce. So anyone who tries to go out in the sea or fish or cross it to like the mainland, it's essentially the vessel never makes it, gets picked off. So it's a really interesting setup. you're kind of introduced to this, the several town folk and different aspects of what they do on the life on the island and what the community's like. But near the end of the first issue, it kind of all gets thrown into turmoil as these two people, one man and one female, kind of get washed up on the shore naked and completely kind of blue, and they don't know what's happened to them or where they've been. And I won't say too much more about the story on from there, but it's fantastic. It's a really good comic.
The level of detail on the art is just Jeff Darrow level, isn't it? It's just incredible stuff. Yeah.
It's really well done. I mean, that alongside the colouring as well. It's kind of like a painterly, sort of a painterly style, but quite vivid, and everything's just really on point. It's, I can't praise Jay enough about the art. It's really well done.
Yeah.
With the surface tension in the title, I looked this up. For a scientific term, it's the property of a surface of a liquid that allows it to resist an external force. And if you read the comic all the way through, it really plays into the theme of what it's all about. I can't really talk too much about that, spoiling it. What's really good about the comic is Jay's really captured the feel of a British coastal town on this kind of island, the way he draws the buildings and the architecture and all the little kind of observations. He's really got it down pat. And when you kind of check out the back of the book, he's got photos where he's travelled around places on the coast and just taking photos, drawing sketches, and it really, really pays off. It's kind of a bit of a lesson there. The extra material in the back of the book is just fantastic. He does a bit of modelling and sketch up, and then uses that as reference for drawing. I think a lot of comic artists do it nowadays. And there's an interview in the back with Down the Tubes. I was like, that's
awesome. Oh, of course it was. Yeah, I remember John posting that. Yeah.
So I found that online. It was John who did the interview with him. It's a really insightful interview. So
did this come out through Titan? Sorry, I might miss
it. It did, yeah. Titan.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I think it was released last year, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
Also, Jay's kind of artwork when he's drawing some of the aquatic monstrosities that appear in the book. They're absolutely fucking horrible, but so well done and observed. It's like he's kind of taken sea life creatures, kind of mashed them up, and there it is, and
that's,
it looks
that's
totally
exactly
plausible.
What you want, though, isn't it, for those sort of creatures? They've got to be, you know, because I think underwater creatures are probably some of the scariest things in existence.
Or not in existence.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
But I tell you, when reading this, it kind of reminded me of, I haven't read them in years, but like reading books like Dare the Triffids and the Chrysalids and like Midwich Cuckoos, that kind
Rock
of...
White. Yeah.
Yeah, the John Wyndham kind of stuff. Where it's kind of like, like very British surroundings and people dealing with like this kind of extraterrestrial supernatural threat and how they go about it. And it's really good. I was really, really impressed. So I can only recommend you get it. It's really good.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Very good.
So where can you get that from at the moment?
I bought mine straight from Jay. But I presume you can get it online.
I think it's on Amazon and all those sorts of things. Yeah.
It's sold by Titan, so I'd be very much surprised if you can't just go into
a local corporate
shop. Or maybe Waterstones or any good book retailer.
Awesome. I'll have to get my hands on that.
Talking of Waterstones, they've gone back into profit, which is weird. I know, maybe a bit off topic. Yeah, for years and years, they were kind of in the red, and they've gone into the black this year. So I'm kind of, wow, okay, that's really good.
Well, that's all those cat calendars they have at Christmas.
Desk catapults that they have.
Yeah.
They do sell a fair bit of tat at the front.
Yeah.
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 Full disclosure, I worked in Waterstones for a few years. So,
Was that before it
interesting
started?
Years.
Is that before it went into the red? Or are you the reason, Dan? Is that what you're saying?
I could not confirm or deny.
is that when you used to hang about by the cat calendars for sort of vulnerable girls?
I'd do that now. No, hanging around in the mind, body, spirit bit where there's all the kind of books on therapy.
Yeah.
That's good hunting ground.
Oh, like a yin-yang lady.
Hunting ground. Jesus. Oh dear. Change the subject, Tony. What book do you want to talk about?
Well, let's go back. I've got a lot of that subject. Anyway, yeah, the one I'm recommending is Epilogue by our friend Stuart J. McCune, who I'm having a coffee with hopefully this week, so I'm hoping to see him. Probably have a chat to him about this. Epilogue, he describes Epilogue is a companion piece and not a continuation of monologue, which you all know that, and what I really liked, and I really liked that book. And I think we all did, didn't we? What this is it's kind of a bit different, and it's more of a group piece. There's more people in it than there was in monologue. Monologue, as the title describes, is generally just about the one person, their moments of conversation. But this is a much more conversational piece about a group of people who are maybe friends, certainly acquaintances, possibly colleagues, you know. And they travel to an island, and there's a house on the island. And it's, I don't want to ruin anything beyond that, but there's a certain element to it, which is a sort of haunted house element. But in more, much, much more sort of psychological horror than it is, you know, sort of monsters and vampires in the closet and that sort of thing, you know. They have these memories of the island, which are sketchy at best, and it's very much, as with monologue, it plays with that sort of sense of identity and character, and are we real, and what happens to us, and who are we, and that sort of thing. And it plays on, or it opens on a sort of confessional narration, but it extends itself beyond that with conversations between the characters, which seem very real. There's a lot of sort of banter between them, which appears to me to be this. I don't know if he's taken it from real life, but it certainly feels like very real banter to me. I would say, whilst monologue to me was a sort of David Lynch piece on paper, this is more, I would put it as something like a Herzog piece, an early Herzog, you know, with there's that sort of cautious friction between people, and very sort of extreme personalities, and sort of sharp featured people, and they're sort of traveling about together. It's very haunting, again a little bit disturbing, and it's a world, as in monologue, that is sort of twisted and distorted. It's real but not real, and some just incredible visuals. I won't ruin it, but there's a visual that at one point that merges with one of the characters, and it's incredible. You know, the one in monologue, which was the mix of the face and the trees,
yeah,
and that we all liked, very similar to that, but in a sort of more beautifully simplistic way. It's not, you'll see it, I'm sure you'll get a copy and you'll see it. It's really good. It's about consciousness and it's about the state of reality. And it's not, it is linear, but there's moments where you switch between characters and stuff like that. And it's essentially an existential pulp adventure story with a haunted house in it. That makes sense to me. That's how I felt about it anyway. It's another amazing book from Stuart. You know, he is a machine, and we all know that.
He's killing it, yeah.
Yeah. He's a non-stop, you know, creator, and as he should be. And it came to me with a couple of really lovely prints, a couple of postcards, and a small mini comic called The Last Time We Met, which has probably got one of the most disturbing covers of any book I've ever seen. But just in a way, I'll post it on the Facebook page, actually, in just a sort of way that you just don't expect. It's a fully lit picture. There's nothing ghostly or monstrous about it, but there's this sort of very strange creature in a normal environment, in a street, and really good. If you go to MillicentBarnesComics.BigCartel.com, you can get yourself a copy, or follow Stuart at Stuart, S-T-U-A-R-T, McCune, M-C-C-U-N-E, on Twitter, and you'll find out more about it. Really good. The format, he's changed the format a little bit. Monologue was in, pardon me, I've got a cough. Monologue was in sort of American comic size. This is smaller in size, but with a spine, sort of slightly longer. Mine's got a little book plate. I'm 23 of 50. And he signed that. Yeah, really beautifully put together stuff. He always takes real care in his Kickstarters. It came in a sort of sealed envelope with a little epilogue sticker on it and all that. You know, he's a masterclass in the Kickstarter, Stuart. You know you're going to get it. You know you're going to get it on time. And you know you're going to get it probably with a lot of extra stuff, which is the way he does business. And he does it really well. And I'm really looking forward to his next one, which I think is called The Human Beings, which he started promoting already, which I'm sure he'll finish by about next week. No good he is. Yeah, so I shall be backing it. I recommend anyone backs anything by this creator because it's thoughtful, intelligent stuff. Really good stuff. Yeah. There you go. That's my one.
There you go.
Nice one.
The next one I'm going to talk about now is a book that was very kindly given to me just before everything kicked off at True Believers, actually, by a creator called Andrew Pawley.
Okay.
Now, he very kindly gave me the collected edition that collected the first four issues of his original series called Galaxifreaks.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned this. Yeah. Looking forward to hear about this.
I'm not sure how I can describe it. but
a good sign, surely.
But, yeah, purely because in terms of being psychedelic, this is the most psychedelic thing that I've read. I have never taken any hallucinogens in my life.
You can test my piss.
Yeah.
I will take any piss test, but I don't know. I feel like I'm tripping when I read through this. It's so unbelievably colourful and crazy and just going in weird, psychedelic, interdimensional time and space poetry. That's kind of what it is. It's so odd. I think one of the best ways, I'm going to do a dramatic reading right now of the first page.
Oh, I like this. Yeah. Awesome.
So I want to know what you guys think of it. Deep inside a Higgs boson particle lives a freak. It has been asleep since the dawn of existence. At utter peace within itself, it is held together with love. Whilst it rests and snoozes, vast and cosmic happenings pass within its subatomic brain. Yes, this space-faced creature is home to a whole cosmic universe within its particle noggin. Galaxies are born and die within the blink of a human eye. So let's melt away and reform inside this cosmic arena and see what's up. For inside the tiny dude, whole epic adventures await the brave. Dreams come and go. Reality is in flux and anything is possible. Come on. Come with me and join the Galaxa Freaks.
I think you had me at particle.
That's just the first page.
Right.
And then you're introduced to the characters Captain Yair, Raimondo, Optic, Rings, and Ringzola, who are they're sort of like sphere-like creatures. They're almost like mad balls. Do you remember those, Dan? They're sort of like, every creature has like a large sort of spherical type head and then a small sort of cartoon.
Basically like a face and a ball.
Yeah, but imagine that, but like if someone was listening to the Doors when they created Mad Balls. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, cool. I like that.
It's properly sort of psychedelic and weird. It starts off with one of them just playing a game called Freak Ball, which looks like a sort of football, sort of keep-em-uppy game. And then one of them, who has an eyeball for a head, says, I wonder what these things taste like. They sure have a strong charge. One lick can't hurt. And then it licks the ball, and then its brain melts. And then it goes on a weird... It's very, very trippy. very, very odd. But it's got some of the most colourful and sort of wonderfully energetic pages that I've seen. You know, every page is like, wow, oh God, what's going on there? You know, I can't describe it. There is kind of narratives going through it, but they're playing on a level that my brain can't comprehend. Certainly after a week of Lemsip as well. Yeah, there's certain like chapters like King Freak and the Sparkle Tax, which sounds like a name of a dodgy film as well, which just sort of says, crikey, this ain't peace, love and face paint. What's going on, dudes? You know, and it's so sort of random, but he's put it together in this wonderful sort of package. It's a proper sort of trade paperback as well. He's done four issues of this. I know he's successfully kickstarted it as well. And I certainly wouldn't have guessed. I mean, Andrew was a lovely bloke when he came up and said hello and spoke to me. I never would have guessed that man would be capable of what I read here. And it's craziness. I think you might get a kick out of this, Tony. Because I know you love a bit of a 70s prog psychedelia, don't you? Tony?
Oh, fuck, I was on mute, sorry. No, I don't. I was coughing. Oh, right. I don't like music that comes after 1981, really, do I suppose, yeah. So that suits me.
The best thing about comics, though, like, you can't usually judge the output of a creator by looking at them. Sometimes they can just put out the absolute strangest stuff, which is great. And then comics is like, you can tell any story, and that's one of the things I love about a medium.
It is abstract comics, it is truly artistic comics. It won't necessarily be for everyone, but then again, no comic is for everyone. I really get a kick out of, you know, some of the pages would just make brilliant posters, just absolutely stunning posters on a wall. If I was going to make a minor niggle, it's like some of the lettering is a little bit not so much the narration, but some of the speech bubbles. There's a lot of space around them, or the way the text flows within the speech bubble. That could do with a bit of a tweak. But for what this is, it feels very underground.
I like that, comics. Yeah, definitely.
Which, you know, it's got a nice sort of glossy cover and everything, so it's almost like, you know, you've almost got this real sort of mainstream sort of pro finish to it, and then you open it up and what you get is something that you'd never normally find, having that sort of quality sort of output, if that makes sense.
So, we need people out there who experiment. You know, we need, like we just talked about, like Stuart's work, and the one I'm going to talk about in a minute, we need people out there who experiment with stuff, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, otherwise we're all going to be the same, aren't we?
And I think, you know, and I know Andrew's, he goes to a lot of shows, you know, seek him out if you see these shows, because you're going to get something that you won't get anywhere else. I've never seen anything done like this. Certainly in the UK Indian small press scene, it's to call it unique would be an understatement. Do you know what I mean?
Been looking at it, it looks like that kind of like the pop culture kind of dragster art. It's hard to describe the kind of genre it falls into.
Yes,
but very kind of mind-boggling, eye-popping kind of stuff. It's really good.
Okay,
it's really vibrant, sort of like nice, clean, sort of thick lines, and then he mixes some, you know, such vibrant sort of colours that you'd expect from, I don't know, Jamie and his magic torch, rather than, you know, it's the furthest away from mainstream that you can get, I think, this book.
There's a whole section down in Forbidden Planet that do kind of books like this, and this would fit in right alongside of it, and the quality of it is on par, if not better, than a lot of them down there.
Check it out, galaxafreaks.com, just to see what I'm talking about. It's hard to not describe.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, it is good. Yeah, I really like it.
Facebook.com, galaxafreaks comics. I know Andrew's been in touch with us a few times, and we haven't had a chance to get around to checking it out. So it was real nice to have this sort of. He was very kind to give me a collected edition of this, and we'll have to talk to him at some point. Just to see what's going through his head.
I'd have to throw out an apology to kind of like, there's so many people that send so much great stuff into us.
There's
only sort of so much time to cover it all,
which is one of the reasons we're doing this show, isn't it, so we can fit a load of reviews in.
Because
we only really get a chance to review kind of one at the moment, aren't we, you know?
So I thought it'd be a perfect time to get Galaxy Freaks in.
Nice one.
Check it out. Who's next?
I'll go next. We had this comic, talking of comics being sent into us. We had this sent into us at ACP HQ.
Towers.
Yeah. Should we call it Awesome Towers?
Robin by Blue Fox Comics, written by Simon Burks. Apologies for this artist name. I'm going to fuck this right up. It's EGE is the first name, and AVCI, Avchi, is the surname.
It's probably something like Age or Asia.
So apologies.
I love the fact that you started with Eggy.
I'd go with Eggy. I like that.
And lettering by Lyndon White. I don't know if you guys had a chance to check this out.
Not yet. I've already emailed it to you, and I haven't looked at it yet. Yeah,
I know Lyndon is a listener as well.
Oh, nice one. Well, from what I can tell, I scanned over the email briefly. I think this title is going to be kickstarted later in February, as far as I can tell. We'd have to kind of ask for a bit of information from the Blue Fox creatives on if that's correct or not, but I believe it to be. I've not come across any of their work before. I don't know about you guys. So
Blue Fox Comics, was it?
Blue Fox Comics, yeah.
They were True Believers. I didn't get a chance to see them, but I did speak to one.
Were they? Where were they?
They were tucked on the other side of the room, Tony.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember seeing their banner. Anyway, Dan, carry on.
Okay. Right. Robin serves as an impressive opener for their wares to me. It's really good. It's an action-adventure comic aimed at ages 7 and above. Robin is a gender-flipped version of Robin Hood. I was a bit sceptical when I read that, so I did a little Google, and there's quite a few comics boasting like a similar, if not identical, premise to Robin.
Don't Xenoscope do one, I think.
Yeah, there is that. They popped up. But I'd say this. For me, I'm not going to write a story off just because the premise sounds similar to another comic.
Yeah,
it depends on the execution, doesn't it?
Yeah, really? Exactly. No one would read my comic if that was the case.
No. Yeah. It's all
in fact, we have spoken about Blue Fox before because they did Sparks and the
Of course.
Yeah, which was really good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
And I think we've interviewed Simon, haven't we? Didn't we interview Simon at London? Simon Burks.
Yes.
I think we did. Yeah.
I was going to say, because like, on paper, Dread and The Raid, like they share a very similar premise, if not like almost identical, but they're two fantastic films. And you know, there's so many differences between them, and that's the same with this comic. It's really well done. It kicks off with like the Robin character. It's Robin with a Y instead of an I, sort of demonstrating her like legendary bow skills. And there's some fantastic double page spreads in here. It's like the artwork's got a real kind of dark whole way through it. There's a real kind of dark vibe, and that kind of goes with her being an outlaw and. I don't want to go kind of give the spoilers away for the comic, but it took a turn to the end, which I wasn't expecting. It goes a little steampunk, but it totally works within the rest of the story. It's really well written and really well done. The artwork, I'm going to have to murder the name again. I'd say that is absolutely fantastic as well. It's really on point.
Okay.
He uses a subdued color palette where there's a real limited number of colors used on every page, and it's a great way of breaking up the scenes where the comic moves from one place to another. There's scenes where like it's daylight and they're in the forest and there's a real bright palette, there's no frames on the borders, so it feels very open. And then you move to a nighttime shot where characters are around a fire and stuff like the silhouettes of trees are kind of enclosing the characters, but using that as a kind of frame to tell the story essentially. And so like the fireside scenes, there's only like oranges, reds and the blacks where the character's being highlighted by the light of the bonfire or campfire. It's great. And a big shout out to Lyndon, who does the lettering. It's, as far as I can tell, it's all handwritten text, and it really suits the story. Feels really good for the comic. It complements in the artwork like some comics don't. Like it feels like you've got the artwork, the artist has done the artwork and he's passed on to the letterer, and you can tell that those two processes were different. In this, it feels the lettering feels very much a part of the page and not like a separate element. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you feel like they've slapped squares or speech bubbles on top. On this, it doesn't feel intrusive. It feels like.
I think designing a lettering font or using a lettering style for a page is, you know, is a really critical thing. I think you've only got to look at, like, for example, Watchmen. Didn't Dave Gibbons design the font for that? I think because he wanted a certain font. You know,
I can tell. To be honest, if I had more people working on Vanguard, I'd definitely have just a dedicated letterer, because it's a skill that's not underappreciated, I think. And like sound design in a film, it's fantastic. You might not even notice how great it is. You can only really notice it when it's bad, but
when it's gone wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Letter's fantastic. It's a lot to recommend in the open issue of the comic. We got sent a preview version, so it's basically this the guts of it. It was the comic. There was no kind of cover or back bit or front. But you can check it out yourself, for they've made it free for this initial little free comic. If you go to www.bluefoxcomics.com, you can download it there and check it out yourself, which I highly recommend you do.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Nice. We'll give you a shout when the Kickstarter goes up. Well, hopefully they'll give us a shout and we'll give you a shout.
Yeah. So much shouting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of shouting. That's why I've got a sore throat.
Yeah, we've all got sore throats. Maybe we've just been getting off with each other a lot and it's sort of gone.
We have.
Oh, finally.
Yeah. Oh, dear. This show's getting sexier by the minute.
I blame a new stripper, but that's another story.
So what book have you got next, Danny?
I have got Slang Pictorial, Issue 2, by Nick Prolix. There you go.
Nick's a legend. Yeah.
Nick is a legend, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's also one of the funniest blokes. I know Chris Imber put it right for me. He said, because Chris did a panel with us, with him at Nottingham, and he said he was always upstaged by Nick, because Nick just had to sort of huff, and he just does it so funnily. Do you know what I mean? Everything he says is sort of, you know. And he just won the day. He literally won the whole day when he said he was going to do a Columbo comic, and everyone sort of cheered. And, you know, it's got that sort of that funny edge to him. Really nice guy, really enthusiastic guy as well, and a really hard, another really hard working comic creator.
Definitely,
you
know,
who you see constantly. I follow him on Instagram, yes, because I'm a hipster, and I see his every day seems to be like 2 or 3 pages. He seems to be putting up.
When he posts pictures of his pages, and he's like the old school. He's got it on the drawing board, the pencil lines, inking over the top, the ruler out. I love it.
Yeah, it's really inspiring to artists, I think, because he has got a really cool style. It reminds me a little bit of old school sort of newspaper strip style,
definitely.
I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Maybe someone like Chester Gould, who did Dick Tracy for all those years, or even Gary Trudeau a little bit, if you know the Doonesbury cartoons.
Yes.
They're in, not that it's my favourite newspaper by a long way, but I think they're in The Guardian quite a lot, weren't they?
Yeah. Our favourite's The Sun, obviously.
Yes, so, yeah. I like the photo stories, but they've long gone, haven't they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like that, but with a sort of more sort of English satirical London, urban London feel to them. They've got real character to them. They're sort of hip in a good way, not in a hipster way, not in a trying too hard way. You know, and they're about sort of I think it's the 1950s. I think it's set in. This isn't actually an anthology, so it all takes place within The Sheep and the Wolves, which is his webcomic, The Sheep and the Wolves universe. So it starts off with Atlas Unfettered, which starts with this sort of huge sort of Atlas sort of bodybuilder character fighting off a load of, I don't know what they are, Romans or, you know, those sort of characters on the steps of a pyramid. And it actually is, by the page 2, it's cut and it's actually on a film set full of spivs and, you know, girls with big combed up hair and all this sort of thing, you know. And then it goes into the main story, The Sheep and the Wolves, which has got I posted it on Twitter earlier, one of my favourite panels, of sort of people that are sort of dancing to jazz at a party in the late 50s, early 60s, you know, all with greased back hair and, you know, getting on London buses and going to a nightclub in Soho and talking to their dads and their mums and talking about scratching around for 15 quid to pay for something. There's a one-page strip called Little Wolves, which is about a couple of the young characters talking about what they want to be when they grow up. And that is actually the print that you get. If you bought issue 1 and you get issue 2, you get a sort of print of that strip, but it's coloured in. So it's a coloured page, really nicely done. The middle pages are about The Small World of Nick Prolix, it's called, from January 2017. Because I know he's sweating about getting this book out. I think it might even have arrived the day before True Believers, I think.
Right,
what he was saying. Yeah. And it's just talking about, you know, how he approaches stuff and who he likes and what creators he likes. And he quotes Gilbert Hernandez as well from Love and Rockets, who I have to say, reading it, I did think, there is a touch of that. You can see that in the black line work he uses, you know. Or maybe somebody like Jay Bone, if you know him.
No.
You know, I'm trying to think who he's from. A little bit, maybe the Darwin Cook field. A little bit of that sort of action-y, slightly cartoony sort of world. You know, like it's got, there's a certain sort of throwback to it. You know, a nostalgic feel to the line. And he does a bit of that. But like I say, it's got this real London feel to it. Really good stuff. There's one scene takes place just in a sort of shop in East London, you know. But he throws in the fact one of them's really reading Franz Kafka Metamorphosis, and there's clever little bits. At one point that someone tries to rob him and the shop he's in, and that sort of all goes wrong. Really cool stuff. The last page is how to comb your hair in the mirror, and that's really funny. But he's also got like little fake adverts in there. The back page is an advert for Hold Tight pomade for, you know, brushing your hair back, sort of cool Happy Days style, that sort of thing.
I love that kind of stuff, world building, yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, really nice little put together, smallish on its side, kind of format. You can go to at Nick Prolix on Facebook, on Twitter, which is NICKPROLIX. And if you go to www.thesheepandthewolves.com, you can find I think it's a weekly strip or a twice weekly strip, I think he puts out. Do you know, Danny, how often it is? I can't remember.
I don't know. Fairly I'm not sure if it's twice a week or once a week.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think he was umming and ahhing about the two because he was absolutely busting his nuts trying to do two. But don't quote me on that.
Yeah. And if you, he's also got a Patreon, patreon.com/NickProlix, which I can highly recommend. And he and I chatted before he started it, actually. He sort of sent me a few examples. And I've got to say, if you're going to do a Patreon, this is the one that I would personally do. He takes it really serious and he sends out a lot of good stuff.
He's also, we've got to give him another shout out because earlier today on Twitter, #comicbookhour. You know about these, don't you, Dan? @comicbookhour.
Yep.
Their question number one tonight was, what are some of the best comic communities you're part of or know of? And immediately Nick said, the online community around the Awesome Pod podcast is great on Twitter, and they have a Facebook group also. So there you go. Thank you very much, Nick.
And cheers, Nick.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yes. He's done a couple of absolutely fantastic pinups with Vanguard as well. So cheers,
Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, I must look at them.
I was trying to tap him up for doing a high res one for the second book when it gets printed.
Excellent.
I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah.
At some point. So yes, we can't recommend this one enough, and we're going to get him on to talk more about it. So that should be interesting. I want to know more about his Columbo comic.
Yeah, I keep saying to him when you're doing it, I think he regrets saying it now.
Yeah. You know.
And he's applied to, well, I think he's applied to LCAF. He's hoping to do LCAF. I hope he gets in there because I think he's well suited to that crowd as well. He is one of these guys who sort of crosses over all the crowds because he's just making comics and he's not worried about who he fits in with and who he doesn't. Yeah. You know, he's as much talking to us and Attic Studios as well as talking to Avery Hill and all these sort of guys. You know, I think he's great for it. Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Right, so I've got one more. One little comic I can talk about.
Little one slip in.
Oh,
yep.
As always. you bastard. Put me right off. No, but the aforementioned Martin Simmons, fantastic artist on the rise.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He chatted to us and he very kindly gave me and Tony a preview issue of Heretics by himself. And written by, now I'm going to murder this second name, P.M. Buchan? Is that how you say it?
Is it Buchan? We're not sure, are we?
I think it's Buchan. I think Buchan, that's a good shout.
Tony. Yeah?
I think it's P.M. Buchan. It's created by both of those. Lettering and designed by Mike Stock. Stocky, always gets it.
Yes.
In this little preview issue, there's also backup essays by Rob Talbot and John Pearson, edited by Kazra Ganbari, and special thanks to George Garner. It's just a short little tale to get you into it. It's more of a world building, I think, setting up for the world, really, for this really dark, it's a very dark tale all about like cults and things like that. It starts off with a sort of suicide cult. They're about to kick off and someone's trying to get everyone out because the leader of the cult is an absolute lunatic, and I think she's an undercover officer. So she's trying to get everyone out before it all kicks off, but unfortunately she doesn't quite make it. And then cut to sort of modern day times, and she's at like this punk rock gig, and she's obviously not quite over it. There's a lot of things going on that it sets it up in. I don't know, I really got a Hammer Horror kind of vibe going through it. It was like it was like a modern Hammer Horror. When I talk about, you know, sort of Wicker Man, Blood on Satan's Claw kind of, that kind of vibe going on, this weird stuff. I think that's the story, you know, there's going to be some sort of strange satanic cult type story building up, because you see someone's flashbacks of when they're a child as well, in this really weird, trippy, satanic dreamlike sequence that Martin's artwork is just could be haunting. He, you know, he's let loose to design a page and just go crazy with it. And if anyone's seen, you know, Martin's work on Eponymous or Death Sentence, amongst other things, you know that, you know, this
dude, I said to him yesterday, he should be a regular in 2000 AD every week.
Yes.
You know, that's where he for me, that's where he sits. He's got, or an image book. He's got like a, I think I described it as Michael Gaydos good. He's that sort of quality of, you know, he's got, it's a brushy, painterly style, but with, you know, real faces and real quality to it all, you know?
I would snap up a sort of Slane story with his artwork.
Oh, that's who you said, who would you do? And we both said, we said, who do we want? He goes, who do you want me to do in 2000 AD? And we both said Slane immediately, didn't we?
Yeah.
He's got that real mystical quality of Slane.
Yeah. And that is on display in this little preview. I think the bigger story is coming a bit later, because he's got some other work coming up. I've seen Heretics has got a bit of press recently, certainly because I think it crosses.
It's been in Kerrang, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crossing that. You know,
it moves
into the sort of musical boundaries as well. I mean, the two pieces that you have in the back, one of them is actually about like Blood on Satan's Claw with a wonderful piece of artwork that I presume is Simmons again, which is fantastic. But you also have like the top 10 songs of 1999, as picked by the deputy editor of Kerrang. Now I'm a heavy music fan, and so I might have opinions on this top 10 list, but it seems like that sort of story that does tie, you know, I think if you're going to sort of cross those boundaries and appeal to a new audience, if you've got an opportunity like that, then go for it. Do you know what I mean? I think it's great that they can.
Yeah. Oh, good on them. Yeah.
Because I think
we're going to reach new people, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I think this preview issue went out with some issues of Kerrang one week, didn't it? I think.
Oh, did it? Brilliant.
I think it might have. I think Heretics actually went out with some, like a metal or rock magazine of some kind. So, and anyone that's looked at it will know that it's beautiful and it's dark and it's twisted, and hopefully we get to see more eventually, judging by this.
Yeah.
Just so I can kind of tell what's going on.
Yeah.
In a good way. Do you know what I mean? Because there seems to be a mystery. There's lots of sort of world building happening in these sort of like 14 to 16 pages that I've read so far.
Yeah, I know Martin's a big music fan, isn't he, as well?
Yeah.
I chat to music with him a few times on the DMs on Twitter. Yeah, he's quite knowledgeable about that as well, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
So, and the script by PM Buchan is on point as well. Some very
definitely
poetic language going on.
Cool.
And menacing and sinister, which is always good. So if you see Heretics, I know it's the first time I've seen them at a con with the banner, but they had like a big banner as well.
They got a cracking banner, haven't they? Yeah, yeah. It's a double sized one almost, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So there's clearly a lot
getting
of work.
Banner envy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's clearly a lot of work and passion, and there is a world that they've got here. So
I bet they didn't pick their banner up and pretend it was a knob.
Oh, I get that now.
Yeah. Can you see why it's comedy gold, Dan?
Yeah. Shit writes itself.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so that's the other one I just want to briefly mention. Tony, what did you want
to say? I just wanted to give a little shout out to Back Issue Magazine. You know, I'm a fan of this magazine. It's on my pull list at Orbital, and it is this one. It's about indie superheroes from, you know, through the years, going back a bit. It's got a Miss Mystic cover by Neil Adams. So God, I know he knows how much that fucking cost. But do you, do you remember when all the super, we used to think, oh, there's only superheroes at Marvel and DC, but the odd one, or the short-lived series generally, would pop up from other companies. I know we've talked about Elementals before, but you get stuff like Justice Machine, if anyone ever read that, which that sort of flew about between companies, and you had the Mighty Crusaders and the Fly at Red Circle.
Remember the Impact comics? Remember them? Fly?
Yes, yeah. I think that was a DC imprint, but that was a run of comics that they bought from another company. I think they'd come from Red Circle. I'm not sure where they came from originally. Okay.
Do you remember what was the Dark Horse line where you had X and Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Ghost.
Yeah, Ghost. Well, wasn't it? Yeah, that was a sort of... A couple of them survived that, didn't they? It was a sort of an experiment. Yeah, and I know Fantagraphics are doing a superhero series, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's continuity had no end. They had Skate Man and Samurai, which is about a female samurai, Crazy Man, you know, which is all in, I think it was all in Neil Adams' studio. And then you had, like I say, Justice Machine. But one that I always was curious about, and we never really saw in this country, was Thunder Agents. Do you remember that?
I know the name, Thunder Agents. I never read it.
Well, I'm feeling it was a Wally Wood thing, wasn't it? Or some of it was, and it's Captain Paragon, which was I think that was a Canadian comic. But anyway, I've yet to read it. And Femme Force, if anyone remembers Femme Force,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, the little bit saucy, sort of female superheroes that I used to buy a bit embarrassedly, you know. The Black Hood and the Mighty Shield and all that sort of thing. I think Rich Buckler was involved in that, and Kirby gets involved here and there with stuff like, I know he did a couple of covers for Blue Ribbon Comics. It's just a magazine that's just full of nostalgia. That's kind of the reason I read it. I just love it all. And they put these out consistently at Tomorrow's, and I'm not sure how much money they make out of it, because it must be a fairly limited audience, but they do really well with their books. So I get back issue, but I mean, they've got a variety of stuff, a variety of magazines, and they do a lot of ones that are centric on specific periods, specific subjects. Of the Kung Fu Comics one, specific artists and stuff like that. It's well worth a look. If you go to Tomorrows, TWOMOROWS.com, you can have a look at some of their stuff, or at Tomorrows_news on Twitter, and you can see what it's all about. Good stuff, and it's regularly great stuff that I buy. Yeah, there you go. That's my
awesome
one.
Nice.
Cool.
Do you think we're going to see many new superhero style titles appearing like small press and indie, the UK scene this year?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I've certainly not written any that are specifically superheroes. Hmm. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, do I know of anyone else who's writing one behind closed doors, you know?
Yeah. Because over the past like few years, like certainly the last 2 years, there's been a few sort of influx of small superhero titles, isn't there? But
I think it's definitely further down on the totem pole to things like autobiographical or horror comics, for example. There's much more horror comics out there than there are superhero comics. You know, you've got the old fantasy comics, I would say, are almost more popular than small press superheroes, you know?
I would say so, yeah.
Mm. Interesting.
Do you think it's maybe that thing, the big two? A lot of people think the big two have got this stitched.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Why bother making one?
Yeah, self-evidenced by these sort of titles that came and went throughout the 70s and 80s, you know, because they couldn't compete with Marvel and DC because they didn't have that that universe. But I think almost with DC and Marvel, that universe has got too big for people to cope with. You know, Secret War seems like a simplistic idea compared to some of the crossovers that are going on at the moment. Yeah.
Kind of got that reading. I started reading through Macap issues, and like it kind of jumps out for a Secret War issue, and it's like, oh, don't really want this.
Saying that, I was a cheating dive into the other day. I'm reading Inhumans versus X-Men, and I'm really enjoying it. Actually, I'm surprised how much I'm enjoying it. Yeah, okay. It's got that sort of solid idea behind it.
Simple. Is it a sort of story, because of the nature of those two characters, they're kind of tucked away from the rest of the Marvel Universe?
Maybe. You know. And it's also dealing with this whole conspiracy theory that everyone thinks the X-Men will go away because another film company owns them. Yeah. I can't see that happening myself. No. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of, there's a lot of stuff talking about that, and I feel like people are operating on untruths.
Yeah, or without enough knowledge of the sort of situation, I suppose.
Yeah.
Marvel get a lot of money out of the X-Men, don't they? I can't see them saying no, because we're not allowed to make toys or movies. We're going to dump this, you know, million pound, you know, million industry that we've got. But yeah,
no.
It's a good solid storyline. It's got a good idea behind it. And I can see them going to maybe, I'm going to guess at a Pocket Universe or something like that. I haven't picked this week's comics up yet, so I don't know what's happened this week. But yeah.
Who would be in your X-Men team? You have to pick five.
Oh, okay. Right. Wolverine and Cyclops.
That's almost an impossible question, isn't it, really? To just narrow it down to five, but go on.
I'd go Wolverine, Cyclops, Colossus, Storm, and then as a little extra one, I'd probably have Banshee, because I quite liked him.
Oh, Banshee, that's there.
Yeah, a bit different.
Yeah. What about you, Dan?
I'd probably do like the X-Bros and have Colossus, Nightcrawler, Cyclops, Wolverine, and Gambit.
Gambit, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting one.
All playing off each other, basically.
Yeah.
I'd probably choose... Oh, Cyclops would definitely be in there. So he's a character that always, like... gets a bit of a hard, like, some people just really don't like him, do they? Cyclops.
I really like him. I like him being the sort of leader of the X-Men. He was this sort of very clever leader for many years, wasn't he? You know,
I think he's the only one that has been a leader for them, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, if you're kind of writing the X-Men and you want a character that kind of believes in the Charles Xavier kind of, I think it's changed now, but he's the one that believes in the message.
Yeah.
So that the other characters not or having different opinions got a bounce off him.
Yeah.
So that's why he feels like a kind of stalwart for that. For me.
I just like the classic Byrne Cyclops. I think they fucked about with having two of them and one of them dying and all this sort of thing at the moment. I just like the classic Byrne, John Byrne, Claremont one.
It's interesting.
Cyclops, Colossus, Rogue, Nightcrawler, and I've got one more, haven't I?
Not Wolverine. No Wolverine.
I wouldn't have Wolverine. I'm done with Wolverine. I can't. And it's weird because when I was a kid, you know, that brown and tan, you know, that Wolverine.
You like that, didn't you?
That was my favourite
quality
Wolverine
costume.
But then he's just been overdone.
What about Madrox or someone like that?
He never really.
Beast, Iceman.
I would probably say probably Iceman.
Not furry blue beast. But I liked him when he was in the Avengers as well. You know.
I like a fun beast. If you know what I mean, the sort of That was more Avengers beast, wasn't it? The one that was sort of jumping around.
I think so. When he was always hanging about, getting drunk with Wonder Man, and you know all that sort of thing. I liked that. I liked that little scene. The sort of about 180 to 200. Of the X-Men, and yeah, it's Byrne, but mostly Perez. I like that little era.
I was reading up about Grant Morrison, you know, when he did his run on X-Men, that he had plans to kill off Rogue.
Okay.
I think he was nixed, but I was, not being mean, I've not got a problem with that, if you're going to kind of push the story forward. I mean, with comics, someone can be dead, and then
six
months later, they can be back.
Yeah. So, you get to write an X-Men story with any X-Men artist, who do you go with?
I would probably say Joe Madureira.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd potentially go for that as well.
Yeah.
Would you?
Frank Quietly.
Humberto Ramos. Humberto Ramos would probably.
Okay.
Because he did X-Men, didn't he? Yeah. I know he did Generation X. That was Pacello. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Pacello. He did that. Yeah.
It depends on the story. If he was kind of going for kind of a real. Social kind of issue dealing with topics. If you're going for full action, that would be
It does completely change it, doesn't it? Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would you have then, Tony?
Well, I mean, obviously Byrne is my go-to, you know. But without Terry Austin, I don't like him quite as much. I'd go a little left field and have someone like Goran Parlov.
Oh, that'd be good.
I just think that sort of gritty feel he's got, and he draws people so well, you know.
Yeah.
I think I'll go there. There you go.
If you could take one sort of, just going off on a tangent now. If you could take one of those X-Universe characters, just to do, you know how Marvel likes to do sometimes, as has happened with the Vision, which has won pretty much everything recently. Those characters that not many people think about, and they're left to, you know, you can just do a series left to your own devices and just create a series that's not attached to anything. Which of the X-Universe characters would you pick for that? you know, essentially a character that's not shown as much love but has got real potential for something.
Yeah, see, most of them have had, I'm just looking at now, who's the one, it was in The X-Files, who's got all the original X-Men's powers? He's got wings and he's got big feet.
What's his name?
I'm blanking on his name.
Mimic. Is it Mimic?
Mimic. Yeah. Yeah. I'd go with him. I just really like him in that Exile series. He was just brilliant. He was like their leader. And there's an issue where he goes into like a gladiatorial sort of arena where they skip between realities, didn't they? And he just keeps walking back out of the arena, the winner, and he's just sort of beaten down and tired and weary. And I think it's so well done, you know. And I think you could do pretty much what you liked with him.
Yeah.
You know, I think you could sort of build him up again.
Yeah.
I'd go with him. I think Mimic. Yeah.
Who would you pick, Dan?
Unus the Untouchable.
Yay! Yeah, and you'd touch him, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd touch anyone, Dan.
On the doll. Yeah.
I just get, like, he maybe, like, saying he has a horrible overload with his power. And, like, it starts with repelling everyone from his life socially. They just don't want to be around him.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the point where he's repelling air and he can't breathe. That'd be the last page. He'd be dead.
You could do like an untouchable sort of autobiographical comic, couldn't you? Where you just, it's nothing to do with having a mutant power that you just, you know, don't really just like touched.
Yeah.
Just repel.
Yeah.
Just repel people. And then eventually just repel love and life.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, dear.
Quite nihilistic, that comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea. Vincenzo?
I'd probably pick Jubilee.
Yeah.
They've cast her now, haven't they? Is it for the TV series or something?
Oh, God, the TV series. I frankly don't care about.
What TV series?
They're in a New Mutants E-type TV series.
Bryan Singer's directing the X-Men pilot for a TV
show. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see Legion comes out next week or something, doesn't it?
Apparently that's very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know one of the storyboarders on that, and it was it's on the side of all the buses and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That does look quite good, actually, Legion, I will say.
Yeah. But, little shout out to Ed Trequino, who I should be talking about his comic next week, but he's a pal of mine who I saw when I was in New York, and he's a storyboarder, and he did some work on that. Yeah.
Nice.
Do you know what that's coming out on? Is it Amazon or?
I'm not sure.
It's an FX show, so I'm not sure.
It might be on Sky or Virgin then.
Yeah,
now it's on FX.
I've got the FX channel on my Sky Plus box thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, I definitely pick someone like Jubilee that, you know, after that whole vampire nonsense, I get rid of that shit.
She's still a vampire now, isn't she? And she had a kid as well.
Yeah. I'd probably keep that. I'd probably put her in a Thelma and Louise-like setting, you know, like a road trip across America, but put her with someone like, Hazmat, you know, from the Avengers Academy. You know that girl?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Something like that, something that's a bit different, but then you get some laughs and some poignant bits and stuff.
It could be like an X-Men to Julie Newmar from Wong Fu.
Oh, God.
Why has nobody done that?
Yeah. No. I know. Oh. That'd be so good.
Those people need representation. I think that needs doing.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Those people, I mean, you know what I mean. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
bring it back. I've got a couple of Kickstarters I was going to give a shout out to.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a couple of shout outs as well.
Yeah. Okay.
You go first, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you. The first one is Reynard City Chronicles, the relaunch by Rob Turner. The blurb is, Vise McAllister thought she was an ordinary radio DJ, but a visit from a giant ant in her bathroom changes everything. Reynard City Chronicles is essentially a reboot of the long running UK comic series Reynard City by Rob Turner. I've worked on the title. I've done three or four issues, I think, as is listeners Susie Gander and Sam Webster. And there's the whole host of people that have contributed to it over the years.
I didn't know Sam had done that. Okay.
Yeah, I think issue 8, 7 or 8.
Okay.
If you go onto the website, you can download the whole issues as PDFs.
Really?
That's on Kickstarter. I could give you the ridiculously long address for that on Kickstarter, but if you just search for Reynard City Chronicles, it'll pop up. And the second one, Sovereign, The Return, Volume 1 graphic novel by Andrew Huerta. The blurb is, 2516 Machine Era, the ultimate being and an 8-year-old slave. Together they must set out on a quest to destroy the Grey and save the planet. I've come across Andrew's work years ago on the Pencil Jack forums, And the best way to kind of describe it, it's kind of like a fusion between kind of comic book art, street art, and like graffing, which is graffiti to all you non-street gangsters.
Oh, good. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, it's very kind of angled and harsh, but visually very striking. It's really energetic. Say, like, if you look at, when you fire up this, if you check it out on Kickstarter, the set looks fantastic is a massive understatement. It looks seriously good, like a kind of the way to run a Kickstarter. There's just loads of pencils, inks behind the process. The video he's got at the top is absolutely slick. I would have loved to put in for the softback or the hardback, but because it's in America, it costs me more in shipping to get it, which is always kind of a bit galling. One thing in this project, it's got a higher target hit. It's $44,000.
Right.
When you listen to this, it will have, well, if today on Sunday, it's got 8 days to go. On Monday, when the podcast comes out, it'll be seven.
How many thousand? It's
only 44.
Bloody hell.
It's only at seven, so it's got to go somewhere. And it's an all or nothing project, so if you don't get the money, you don't get, if you don't get the goal, you don't get nothing, which would be a real shame. I don't know why it is that high. It's, that is very high. If you can, if you look at the pages he's got up there, it's absolutely pro level work. It's fantastic. Yeah. But that's a real, you're gonna have to go some to get that in that amount of days. But yeah, good luck, Andrew. I hope it makes it. So yeah, go check that out.
Nice. Cool. Tony?
That's me.
Just people I met on my trip. Ed Triquino, who's a pal of mine, and we used to be sort of table buddies at Bristol in the late 90s, early 2000s. He's kicking it out of the park over there with his storyboarding, but he's got a couple of comics coming out, which I shall be elaborating on much more next week. Amri and Adrian Hashimi. Now, Adrian, if you go to Adrian Hashimi, I think it's Hash Art, we'll look him up on Facebook, he is doing the funniest series at the moment of famous women from science fiction on the toilet. Which is called the On the Throne series, and so he's got Uhura doing a poo in Star Trek on the Enterprise. He's got a Jani from Dune. He's got that woman who likes dragons in Game of Thrones, all that sort of thing. Just absolutely hilarious stuff. He is also a storyboarder. I know he works a lot with Robert Redford and stuff like that, and a top bloke. And then also Bob Fingerman and Michelle Cohen. I took a colleague along with me who knows nothing about comics whatsoever, Ali, and we had a great laugh over dinner. And as I'm sure everyone's tired of me boasting about it, Bob gave me a couple of pages from Minimum Wage, which is one of my top comics of all
time. Fantastic.
Just amazing stuff, just beautiful stuff. And go and read Minimum Wage. It's simply put, one of the best adult comics you will read. And Bob spoke, we chatted quite a bit about some future projects, which I'm not allowed to talk about at the moment, but sound absolutely brilliant and very of the moment. So keep an eye on what Bob's doing. They're my two.
Awesome. I just dug out the names of the people that we forgot.
Oh, well done.
Earlier. Yes, thanks to Dave Broughton, who on Facebook has posted up the pictures of all the people who bought his brilliant comics, including Josh and Kirsty.
Oh, you were right then, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony's always right.
Get a lady's name.
And they never forget your face.
Yeah. On lineups.
Yes. So thank you very much, guys. And good. It was important to me that I found that out.
And the other thing is we can announce the winners, can't we? We can announce the winner.
Yes. Yes, the Small Press Showcase. Is that what it was called?
Small Press Factor.
Small Press Factor. Winner 2016 can now be announced. It was announced live while we were recording tonight, wasn't it? But
yeah, Dan's texted me and I said, oh, can we announce it on the show? And he said, go ahead. He's announcing it tomorrow at some time. So we may, if you listen this early, you may hear it first.
Yes.
Now, but the
Tony Esmond from the Awesome Comics Podcast said, pretty interesting premise. Fun stuff.
I would have said something more interesting if I knew he was going to quote me. But yeah. Me and quite a few other guys who sort of regular viewers at various sites and sort of things like that got sent quite a few comics who entered this competition, Small Press Factor. If you win this, there is the no small booby prize for coming on this show. So the winners will hopefully be on the show at some point soon. And the winner are King Legacy, which is essentially, put very briefly, Elvis kicking ass in space, which is pretty cool. Yeah. It's written by Jay Frettingham, art by Dave Jones, and colour by Liam Frettingham. I really enjoyed it. Actually, it was one of my favourite ones there as well. I know there's quite a few of us voted, but really, really good stuff. And just fun, well-executed fun. And worthy of a mention as well, who missed out by literally one point, was Sub Diablo by Daryl Thorpe, who I also liked. I thought that was really good stuff as well. But King Legacy won. Well done, guys. Richly deserved. And we look forward to being Lude and Krug with you on the podcast quite soon.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I actually heard of this one before as well, because sometime last year, I think it was late last year, my good friend Sean Doby, when you remember the small press day that happened, July or August or something like that? He went to a store, I believe, in the sort of Bournemouth kind of area, small table with a couple of creators, and he met the King Legacy guys there, and it was their first time doing anything, any kind of event, and it was the first time they had the comic printed and were there, and he just gave them a rave review, and I looked through the copy of the comic that he had, and you know, it looked great. You know, I thought it was properly good fun.
Great idea. Simple but great idea. I'll tell you, everyone who put into it was quality. There was some real quality stuff in there. I got sent through, you know, a big envelope of comics by Dan. And everything was brilliant. You know, it's hard to pick a winner out of this for me. Fortunately, it wasn't just me. So if you didn't win, don't come beat me up. But it was all everyone who put in for it. And I think it's only going to get bigger this, because next year I'm sure there'll be more people involved. Great stuff. Yeah, really good to see.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be good. Are they going to be there at Leamington Comic Con as well?
Hopefully. Yeah, I think so. Hopefully. Yeah, I think they are.
Brilliant. Yeah. So that'll be the next big event in terms of a con we'll be at. But of course, next week is the 2000 AD show.
That's really looking forward to that week.
Really looking forward to that.
It's gonna be good. I'm just looking forward to physically holding these men again.
Lord.
Oh, it's been a long time coming, Dan. Oh, prepare yourself.
That actually goes in nicely to the dictionary corner coming up at the end of the show.
Now, some people want more of the crazy Urban Dictionary Dan Butcher moments.
I don't source this. I just have to say that Tony sources it, and I read it.
I encourage you to do it like a child in the playground.
What did we give him this week, Tony?
I have given him the subject of Dutch rudder.
I love the fact that you said you gave him the subject of, not that you gave him a Dutch rudder.
Yeah, thank you.
For those out there, we're an educational show. We want people to learn every week. So, Dan, take it away. What is a Dutch rudder?
From Urban Dictionary, Dutch rudder: having someone complete the act of masturbation by pulling up and down on the forearm while the male holds his own penis. It did take me a couple of reads to think, what? It says complete the action. So what, like you take over halfway or something?
You sort of grab it and then someone else moves your hand up and down,
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
Yeah.
I'm not trying it with you.
What sort of other sort of madness do they do in Holland? That's weird.
Lord only knows.
Yeah.
This is only stuff we're hearing about. You know what I mean?
Thank God for Brexit.
Oh God!
If I'd have known about Dutch rudders, I'd have voted to leave as well.
Oh dear! Is this show being too political for you, folks? There's several different ways you can tell us.
Oh, I feel sick now.
Smooth. <That's> been...
yes, you can email us. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. If you've got any books, now that we've swung open the doors for more small press books, if you've got any new books coming up, send them our way.
Yeah,
we're going to have a look at them now. So you can also follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod. Lord knows what we'll put on Twitter this week. Who knows? I don't think there's going to be any polls this week. I think people miss them.
Yeah, unless we want to do polls. Who's your favourite 2000 AD character, we could do a bit of that, couldn't we?
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that might be quite good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, or we can do a poll of what to say to a certain person on the day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
God, yeah,
that'd be dangerous.
We're hoping to interview a few people, aren't we? That's the plan.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, so it should be good. Yeah.
We have to kind of roll with the punches on the day because we don't quite know how it's going to work out.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's a few people I don't even know on Twitter have been tagging me into comments saying, "Make sure you go to Pat Mills's talk with Tony Esmond." And I'm thinking the pressure's getting too much. Yeah.
The gauge is creeping into the red. It's only Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah,
that talk is going to be a brilliant way to finish off the day.
Finish me off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's that.
Not like that.
Dutch rudder.
It'll be the Dutch rudder of the day.
Yeah. At the back, you two will be doing a Dutch rudder trying to put me off.
Or, yeah, with our banners. Yes, you can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. Or if you're a listener of the show, check out the group page, Awesome Comics Talk, where you can talk about what you've heard on the most recent episode, your comics in progress, etc. Talk with any one of us if we happen to turn up there and ramble about something. And thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. I wrote that during the panel. I actually wrote that down so I didn't forget it, didn't I?
I know you were reading it because I shouted at you. You've said this like almost 100 times.
I know, but it's still a mouthful. Thanks for listening to us on Podbean. If you listen to us anywhere, but also on iTunes, leave us a review. Helps get the word out about the podcast, and plus we just like it if you guys like us. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, we do. Makes us feel warm.
Yeah. Yeah, and we need the warmth, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, thank you for listening to us on Stitcher or the Podnose Network or wherever you found us. We love you. And where can people find us on online, etc., Tony?
Ezoyz on Twitter. There's a couple of pieces going up and down the tubes. There's one I've just done on Nick's new book, which we just talked about. And I think I'm going to do something on Stuart J. McCune after we have a chat in this week. So there's a couple of things going out this week.
Nice one.
Splendid. Dan?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Brilliant. Cool. Which is now back and kicking ass.
Thank you.
Yes. It's going to be awesome.
Where can we find you, Vince?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Dan. You're
on 0798.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find it more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. We had no guests, but we don't need them.
Who needs guests?
We can still talk for a couple of hours about pretty much anything, can't we?
Yeah.
Talk bollocks for
couple hours. Doing it my whole life.
Yeah.
24/7, 365. Yeah. Talking bollocks.
Apparently, even in my sleep when I'm lying in the back of Chris Sides' car.
Were you talking as well?
I might have been. I'm not sure.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
We need to get in touch with them once we finish recording. Brilliant. Have a brilliant week, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode. For the next week, maybe pick up some old 2000 AD stuff.
Yeah, because we'll be talking that next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be
got to do some reading for Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should do some reading every week, Dan.
Yeah. I try to. It's really nice. It's hard.
Yeah. What, reading?
Getting the dictionary out every other word.
You make it look easy, my friend. Yes, have a brilliant week, folks. And as always, just stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Yeah, there's a couple I just want to mention. Now I've completely forgotten them. Hang on, let's start again. Feel free to go off in any direction you want, gents, by the way.
Okay. Right.
Not by playing other music, Tony.
Oh, that's a shame, because I went into Busy Phillips's fucking Instagram page, because normally it's, oh, hi, I'm at the beach. And I was trying to find one of his pictures.
Sorry.
Who's Busy Phillips?
What?